Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
Today we got a very special episode. We got very special guests joining us today. Our friends, Alan.
Hi.
And the Emmy Award winning Shannon Maynor.
Hi guys.
Get ready for that for life. That's just it forever now.
Yeah, so Shannon,
that's the
you
rest
have
of your life, Shannon. That's the rest of your life.
Now that we're speaking to you, you have now touched an Emmy, yes?
Yes, I have touched an Emmy.
How does that feel?
Does it vibrate and is it warm like I think it is?
No, it's pretty heavy though.
Is there a spirit of a woman trapped inside?
They're like this big, which means nothing to anyone listening.
Yeah, it's this amount of audio units tall.
That's pretty tall.
It's very tall. So today we're on hiatus and in Hey Jake and Josh fashion, we bat a hiatus.
We need to think of a new name for hiatus because it basically means we're in bonus episodes.
We're in bonus time. This is bonus time, everybody.
It's a bonus round.
Welcome to bonus round.
I was about to say, so it's the end of a Kirby level?
No, it's like when you throw a barrel and smash a wall in Donkey Kong Country and you go in and collect bananas for 30 seconds.
Or smash all the baddies.
Instead of 30 seconds, it's 2 months.
How many bananas are we going to get? That's the question. We'll tell you at the end of the episode.
I'm going to guess about 8. If each episode is one banana.
I mean, that'd be a really bad bonus round in Donkey Kong Country. Anyway, this isn't a Donkey Kong Country podcast. It's a Pokemon podcast. And we're going to be talking about Pokemon conspiracy theories today because they are bountiful and fun. And also, I've wanted to do that since we started the podcast. So.
Can we start by defining the word conspiracy? Because when I was looking up theories...
It just means theory.
Well, okay. Because I was like, none of these are really, like, shady.
What I would define it as is a theory that is not 100% backed up by canon. It's some things that the canon hints at or alludes to, but there's no real concrete evidence for it.
Okay, so we're not talking like chemtrails here. We're
no. You get a vinegar spray ball full of vinegar.
Oh God!
Spritz it over your hair.
You can see them breaking up from all the way down here. I'm doing stuff, you guys. I matter.
Anyway,
this isn't about Vinegar Lady.
Anyway,
I'm actually
we
very
talk
curious
about
Vinegar Lady, but we'll talk more about that off air.
We'll send you a YouTube link, or we'll send you a YouTube thing to Google because I don't actually have a link. So before we start, we got one major announcement. Well, two. This is our 1 year anniversary episode.
It is.
When you hear this Friday will be 1 year since Pokemon World Tour hit the airwaves. So that's pretty awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. It's been a pretty awesome year, I think. We started a whole second podcast that's very cool, too. Pokemon World Tour United, which brings me to my second point. Hopefully, unless iTunes is feeling weird, hopefully today Pokemon World Tour United will have its own feed. So
what?
If it does, I need everyone listening, if you're on iTunes, to run over there real quick, leave us a rating review. By need, I mean I better see some or else.
Because we have, 8 days to get into new and noteworthy?
Yeah.
And we need to just like a lot of reviews really quick.
We need your help.
Please?
All right. We need a lot of reviews. We need a lot of ratings. For your friends, us, please? Anything? So we'll let you know. Hopefully that'll be up tomorrow. I'm hoping tomorrow to us right now when you hear this.
It took Cool Kids Table like 5 days.
But you submitted it
but
on
it was
Saturday,
over a weekend.
So like, who knows what's going on there? Sometimes I feel like it takes 15 minutes. Sometimes it's, we'll get to it. Okay, now I think we're ready to jump in. Because guys, I really want to get into new and noteworthy. I've never wanted anything like I want this.
Please?
I want people to hear how great everything in Pokemon World Tour United is.
Everybody deserves to hear Alan say, Lotad.
Everybody.
And if you don't review us, you are withholding that from the general public. And that's just not fair to them.
That's really mean. It's just like a jerk move, guys.
You want to be a jerk?
I don't think you want to be a jerk.
You want to be a jerk. Anyway, we're done pandering.
All right, so I just woke up from a nap like 20, 25 minutes ago. So I'm going to let someone else go first. So who wants to go? Not all at once.
Is anyone real excited?
I can go first, I guess.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
So here's how this is going to work. Just it'll go Alan, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. We'll kind of figure it out. And then depending on how long it's taken for us to get to through our first round, we're either going to do a second round or we won't. So I hope everyone brought their A games.
Okay, so I guess time to put on your tinfoil hats, because here we go. The theory that I am presenting is that red is actually the antagonist of red, blue, or green, technically.
And yellow. Okay,
what about yellow? You know, he's a good guy in yellow.
Yellow follows closer to the anime, so it's less likely that he's the antagonist there. He still has some antagonistic traits, but it's less likely.
Okay. You have my attention, Alan. Go on.
Okay, so bear with me. So put yourself in the shoes of a 10-year-old boy, okay?
Those are little shoes.
That is super easy to do for me. Okay.
You have been told that you are going to be starting your Pokemon journey soon. You're very, very excited about this. And when you go to see your grandfather to receive your starter Pokemon, somebody else is already there. You don't really think anything of it. You greet your grandfather. You even greet the mysterious stranger. But then your grandfather lets that person choose their Pokemon first.
Can I...
Okay, let me stop
you. Can I poke a hole in this now, or should we wait till you're done?
Either or. I don't care.
I'm going to do it now, because when the game starts, Professor Oak says you've known each other since you were babies.
Okay.
So Red is not a stranger to Blue.
Okay. And the stranger part was just for fluff. That's not important.
Okay. All
right. Well, then I have a second hole that I would like to poke. He lets this other kid pick first, but that literally just means you get to pick the advantage Pokemon.
But that's less important, I think, because...
Is type advantage less important?
When you're 10?
Yeah, if this other kid chose the one you wanted to be your best friend. If you went to adopt a puppy,
yeah,
and someone else was there before you,
uh-huh,
and they adopted the only Yorkie because they didn't let you choose first.
Oh, I'm going to take my balled up fist, I'm going to punch him in the back of their head.
That's what happens when Red chooses Squirtle.
And then when they're unconscious of it, clearly they cannot handle this puppy. They just passed out. Oops. And then
I
boom,
like
Yorkie for
thinking.
Me.
So,
that sounds an awful lot like a Rocket.
Yeah, dude, you come to me, Yorkie, you better get ready. You better have your together. Sorry for swearing. That's the first one.
So you pick the type advantaged one, and you battle this person. You lose or you win. Again, that's not really important. But you decide, hey, okay, great, we're going to go on our Pokemon journey. You get your Pokedex and you're good to go. Okay?
Okay, yeah, no, I'm on board.
You go on your journey, you start training your Pokemon, you meet your rival a few times, you battle, you know, it all is going well. Until you get onto the SSN. And you get on the SSN, you're very excited because you've got, you know, this ticket, you're going on this cruise liner. And you've been doing some battles, but you're okay. But then you fight your rival, and he wipes you out. And you're not near a Pokemon Center. You're not near anywhere to heal your Pokemon. So maybe one of your Pokemon dies. Maybe you wind up in Lavender Town mourning the death of your friend. Then that very same rival shows up, beats you again while you're mourning, interrupts you while you're mourning to challenge you to a battle and then beat you. So renewed, you're like, no, I'm going to win the Pokemon League. This is my destiny. This is what I'm going to do. You go, you conquer the Indigo Plateau, you beat the Elite Four, and you are the champion for a grand total of 5 minutes. Then that very same rival comes up, beats the Elite Four, beats you, and you go into the room with your grandfather, who hadn't gotten there yet. The grandfather doesn't show up until, you know, you're defeated. In which your grandfather chastises you and praises your rival. So essentially, your rival has crushed your dreams, stolen your childhood, and stolen the love of your grandfather.
Okay, Alan, I feel like this is the tone that this episode is going to take. Where we are going to present our arguments,
yep,
and then everybody else is going to rip it to shreds. What you're describing is a little piss baby to me. because you're on the SSN, right? And he beats you and your Pokemon dies. Your goal was also to beat his Pokemon. So, like, What's the sliding door version of that? Well, if he doesn't beat me, I beat him, and then one of his Pokemon dies.
Well, and again, it's up to interpretation, but why else? This is one thing that I do like about the theory, is the whole Raticate dies, because when you meet your rival in Lavender Town, he's at a grave, he's very evasive, you know, it makes some sense, and you never see the Raticate again. The Raticate is gone from the party.
Yeah, oh, no. Oh, that Raticate totes Magotes died.
Did anybody bring a Gary Oak is in Team Rocket theory to this table?
I did not.
No, but I like it.
I really wish I had, because he's like...
Look, next year.
Yeah.
Write it down. We'll do one next year.
Yeah, table that. I'm not going to get into that anymore. But okay. I did read one, but I would like to flesh it out a little more. We'll bring that next time.
Also, when you get to Lavender Town, you're in the Pokemon Tower. You're red. And you're walking by, and he's like, hey, you, I'm going to fight you now. Like, you don't go challenge him. The rival challenges you. He seems like a sore loser who can't let it go.
True.
And then as far as like, oh, your grandpa likes him better, that's just, like, bad time. You should have called him earlier if you were that confident in yourself.
Professor Oak was on his way there on foot to congratulate his grandson. It just so happened that his grandson lost the title in that time.
In that, like... 30 minutes.
As far as why Blue is in the Pokemon Tower, like, you're in there too, and you didn't lose any Pokemon.
Yeah, but you were sent there by Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, but I'm sure Blue caught wind, and Blue is always where Team Rocket is, which is part of the theory I was just talking about. So,
that,
like, he might have been in there trying to stop them himself, or for other reasons.
I think he was there mourning his dead Raticate. Shannon, you've been awful quiet. Why don't you weigh in?
How about just, like, all 10-year-olds kind of suck anyway, so they're all just really passive-aggressive and just really want to fight because they all have pockets full of tiny monsters?
Bad idea to give 10-year-olds monsters to fight with.
Okay, but to that effect, am I the only one that I really feel like I would pull a Victor and be like, I don't want to hurt any of these sweet, precious babies, I just want to love them? Like, who looks at these creatures and goes, you know what they could do?
If I saw a Vanillux, I'd be like, yeah, someone kill that mother. That I almost swore again. I gotta stop. I gotta get out of this swear mode. I'm sorry.
You can't take naps anymore.
Bad time. It was not a good nap.
Well, I mean, I feel that way about Beedrill. They should all just be torched because they're horrifying.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty. They're like wasps but with three stingers. They can't even touch anything.
But they're not waspinators, so they're not like useless. They're actually proficient.
Are we talking Waspinator from Beast Wars?
Yeah.
Starscream?
I'm just thinking about, like, Galavantula. Like, just going into a room and finding a Galavantula in the corner. Because, like, I'm fine with spiders. But if I saw a spider that big, I'd burn my house to the floor.
Oh, yeah. You gotta move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry,
you just
house.
Gotta move. That's it.
So from, like, the fighting Pokemon standpoint, I can understand, like, it's a, hey, there's monsters out there for all of us. Hey, monster. Let's both be protected, and you can hang out with me, and I can hang out with you, and we won't die by that huge bee that's 4 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah. I think back to Gary being in the Pokemon Tower. If I had just lost, so not to bring it down too much, but I lost my dog back in November. Do you know what I did that day? I cried and I slept like the whole day. I was a pile of garbage that day. If I had just lost a Pokemon, I wouldn't be like, there's the kid who did it. I better fight him now. I'd be like, leave me alone, please. I'm having a very bad month.
That's fair.
That is fair.
So, Alan, I think your theory... I don't think it's your theory.
It's not my theory.
I don't think you invented it.
No.
I gotta call shenanigans on it.
I do, too. Blue is too much of a jerk to be the hero. So, therefore, I don't think Red could be an antagonist. If that means Blue is the protagonist.
I think, like, from Blue's side, then, like, yeah, this other kid just keeps ruining his day.
Well, I mean, every jerk thinks they're the hero of the story.
No one thinks they're the villain, so. Except for Team Rocket. They know.
Yeah. They,
they know, and they just
they
roll around in it.
I have 3 pages of notes saying they're the true heroes.
Well, speaking
everyone
of
came
that,
real
Shannon,
prepared, but me.
I was going to say, speaking of that, Shannon, why don't we move on to that one? That sounds interesting.
I don't know if I'd call this one a theory. I just have a bunch of facts.
We'll be the judge of that.
So, like, I'm really embarrassed that, like, you guys have all these theories that aren't true, and I just have to bring just a bunch of, like, truth here. So.
We definitely have one fact that we will talk about later, but yes, go. Hit us with these big old air quotes. Facts.
They're facts underlined.
Okay.
I don't know why you guys think I would lie. I have no reason for you to ever think I would lie.
Yeah, I cover that pin.
Yeah, he's like, the listening audience can't hear, but or see, but Shannon's dressed like a rocket business administrator. She got
not anymore. I took the R off. Let's see if I can actually make sense of anything I wrote. There's a bunch of hearts.
Is it just Giovanni's name? It's just like Mrs. Giovanni and right. Hearts.
He's so handsome.
And underlines.
Fact number two. What a babe, right?
I'm just saying. That new trailer, he had a little jacket on. He had sunglasses. It's the best. Alright, but yeah, anyways, the theory that I'm going to cover is that Giovanni is the good guy.
Okay.
Alright. I guess we'll go with the game version first. First of all, unlike in the anime, Team Rocket doesn't really steal Pokemon in the game. They're more about stealing things. Because, like, most of the time you see them, they've stolen Dig, which I still stand by stupid, because their leader is a ground-type trainer, but, you know.
But he can't dig.
He gotta start somewhere.
He has a Dugtrio, but, like, he doesn't know Dig for some reason.
Yeah, that's...
It's just a trio.
But yeah, they're more about, like, they steal the Silph Scope and the Master Ball, and which all of those things they're using to acquire Mewtwo. So the way that the theory goes is that it's actually Giovanni's trying to capture Mewtwo before it can get into the hands of any other team and people can use it for evil. Because, like, basically, they want to get the Master Ball, clearly, to capture Mewtwo, because it's the ultimate Pokeball. And there's a bunch of people saying that, like, since Giovanni does have all this money and power, maybe he tried to buy it first, but it's a prototype, so they wouldn't sell it to him. So then he just showed up and took it.
Sure. I could see that.
And then get the Silph Scope to get ghosts, which there's only so many ghosts in Kanto, so they might have an advantage against Psychic, which I actually can't remember if they do in Gen 1.
In Gen 1, they were supposed to, but they didn't.
But then they made them half poison, so
I also think Ghost-type was coded wrong, but I could be misremembering on that. So I think Ghost was also weak to Psychic, but I might be wrong.
That sounds like a Gen 1 thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very duct tape oops.
And then they were also stealing fossils, which the whole thing, like, you don't know what those ancient Pokemon are. They could be something that could take down Mewtwo. Basically, the whole theory is that, like, if you want to go the route that Team Rocket helped create Mewtwo, then Giovanni feels guilty for creating this giant monster, releasing it on the world, and he's trying to grab it and just kind of fix his mistakes, and Red just keeps being a piece of shit and messing it up. Oh, there's my first curse.
There's your first. Okay.
Just trying to make you look better.
Thank you. Freesh.
God, where was I? I'm sorry, guys.
Red was a jerk.
That's a good one.
Great point.
Another fact.
I don't know. I like Red.
I think he's a nice kid.
I actually do like Red a lot.
He's no loser like Ash Ketchum.
But yeah, then a lot of people went through and broke down the Team Rocket motto from the anime to back up the point that Giovanni is trying to keep Mewtwo out of the hands of the other teams. Which, I guess, the motto wouldn't translate very well to the game version, which is what everything else is helping set up, but I don't know. I still like it, and I think actually Matt sent it to me on Twitter recently. So, like, spoilers. But
it's out there.
Yeah. To protect the world from devastation, they say that's his warning against Team Aqua and Magma, because they're trying to take the legendaries of Hoenn and just destroy the world.
And right.
To unite all peoples within our nation, that's against Team Flare, since they basically want to do a classist genocide where they want to kill anyone that's not stylish or, like, attractive.
They want to pull a Moonraker.
The dumbest plot in Pokemon.
It's like James Bond, the James Bond movie Moonraker, but about clothes instead of just perfect genetics.
I was so on board for Team Flare until they got, like, stupid.
Super stupid.
And, like, it wasn't physical attractiveness or appeal or anything. You could buy your way into Team Flare.
Yeah. It was just basically whatever Lissandra's mood was that day. He's like, yeah, those are the people that will survive. Oh, you made me mad. Never mind. You're already going to die.
You out. You hurt.
How are you going to stop a Death Ray from killing anybody?
But to be fair, if we're talking about dumb plots, my favorite is still Aqua and Magma because it's, oh, we're going to destroy the world. It's going to be, uh-oh.
They don't want to destroy the world. They want to make more habitats. So Aqua wants more habitats for water Pokemon. And then Magma wants more land for all the other Pokemon, I guess.
But how much?
And when they realize they've made a mess, they're like, uh-oh.
And it's like they don't realize how catastrophic their plan is until it works.
Yep.
And they're like, we screwed up.
There's your first one.
See, that's my favorite part about Aqua and Magma, though, is they actually win and then turn around and be like, I'm so sorry.
Whoa,
can
spoilers.
You please fix this?
I'm only on the third badge in Omega Ruby.
Jay, you're never playing Omega
Ruby
again.
I'm never going to play that game again. Gen 3 is not fun.
Let's go back to this T-Rocket theory.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
I like the idea of them trying to get Mewtwo.
Well, hold on. She's got more...
You're not done.
She's got several more teams that they have to
put in the burn book.
It's cool. There's only two more lines.
Okay.
All right. To denounce the evils of truth and love, that's against Plasma. And
everybody should be against Plasma. Every single person should be against Plasma.
Let's say someone who's listening, could be any listener out there, doesn't know what Team Plasma's plan was, because maybe they didn't play any of Gen 4. Or 5?
That's 5.
Okay.
Or 5. They definitely didn't play 5.
All right.
Could be anyone.
Plasma's basically PETA? Like,
yeah,
in the worst sense.
They're in Unova, right?
Yeah.
That would be Gen 5.
Yeah. They travel Unova making grand speeches to the populace of any city they happen to be in about how you should release your Pokemon. It's unethical to have them and you're being mean or whatever.
Right.
Their plan, though, is to get everyone to either give them or release their Pokemon so that nobody has Pokemon but Team Plasma so that they can take over the world.
Yeah. They also kind of... again, do the PETA thing where they don't really care how they free the Pokemon. So, like, they'll hurt people and Pokemon if it means those Pokemon get released.
Yeah, PETA's a bunch of garbage dicks.
Yeah,
and they'll release dangerous Pokemon, like the legendaries that are captured for reasons and, like, put aside. Like, they're just kind of like, we just want our thing, and we don't care what we're going to do and who to get it done. Which I can appreciate, I just don't like the hypocrisy. Also, they're PETA, and I could rant all day about how much I hate PETA.
And they have N.
And they have N. I hate him so much.
Ugh.
Okay,
the game tried so hard to make you care about.
So let's get the bad taste of N out of our mouth. What is the last line?
All right, to extend our reach to the stars above, which is against Team Galactic, who has easily the dumbest plan that's ever happened with any team.
Dumber than good clothes equals not dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe someone didn't know what Team Galactic's plan was. Explain that.
Dumber
too.
In a grander way.
Okay. They wanted to take Dialga and Palkia, who are the legendaries of time and space, recreate the universe without emotion.
That's dumb and bad.
Yeah. Cyrus is like, hey, I'm gonna turn the universe inside out and make one where one, I'm in charge.
Sure.
And two, nobody feels anything.
What's the point of making a whole new universe if you're not the boss of it? You got to be at least the assistant manager of this new universe, or else what's the point?
Well, since we're on the James Bond kick, what's the point in living if you can't feel alive?
Is that from Die Another Day, the worst James Bond movie?
No, that is not. That is The World Is Not Enough. Check your privilege.
Ooh.
Excuse you. World Is Not Enough is not great.
It is
we are
not
about
great.
To argue about James Bond. We're talking about Team Rocket.
Okay.
Yeah, guys, we're talking about the heroes of this story. Come on. But yeah, so the whole thing is that Giovanni knew about all these plans and all the teams and was basically saying that he's saving the world without saying that he's saving the world and just doing whatever he needs to do to keep legendaries out of their reach by getting all the stuff that can capture them.
Okay, I'm going to... poke a couple holes.
I actually have something to support it when you're done.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go first.
My support to it is Giovanni's a gym leader. Like, that's a position. Like, that is a... you have to prove yourself to become a gym leader. You probably have to go through a bunch of stuff to be a gym leader. So...
we have talked about this on the World Tour podcast, where gym leaders are essentially the mayors...
yeah.
Of their respective cities, because you're only a city, at least in Kanto, you're only a city
if
you have
a gym. Yeah.
Okay, well, to counter that first, plenty of corrupt mayors have existed.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that Giovanni could win an election.
Yeah. Also,
I'd vote for him.
Along those lines, see, boom, right there. But along those lines, if you're, because Giovanni is a, quote, legitimate businessman who just also happens to be the leader of a criminal organization, right? So, like, he could, even if he won, if he became a gym leader, like, fairly, he's still in charge of a criminal organization. Here's the things that I have to say. That is a fair point, Alan and Shannon. I'm more on board with this than Red's the bad guy.
I'm more on board with this than Red's the bad guy.
Yes.
I feel like this theory was written by one of two people. Giovanni or Shannon Maynard.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no biases against my handsome boy that I'm very proud of.
Shannon, you have your pin back on.
Your pin is back on.
Oh, I don't know how that happened.
The pin wants what the pin wants. So by which I mean, of course he's saying, no, I'm trying. I don't want this dangerous weapon to get into the hands of those other teams, but I do want it for me.
He wants it for him. And that's the offshoot of this theory that I think is probably true, is that all this stuff is about him getting Mewtwo, but probably not necessarily to keep it out of the hands of anyone else, but just to have it for him.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that.
Because he goes to the Pokemon Tower, not only because of ghost types, but Mr. Fuji's there. And it is confirmed in canon that Mr. Fuji was a doctor on the team that made Mewtwo. So there's a lot of reason for him to want to talk to him. Taking the Master Ball, being a gym leader, like all that stuff just kind of ties into him just like wanting to be. He's the last gym leader. Like he's the strongest gym leader.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's last because he was like, he was out that day.
He was gone.
Like, you had to walk by him first.
He had to go balance the books of the game quarter or something.
he was in a meeting.
He had to go strap a dude to a chair and beat him with a tube sock full of nickels for a little while.
Oh, come on. He pays people to do that.
I mean, if you want the job done right.
That's fair.
You're going to roll up your sleeves. You got your Yakuza tattoos all the way
it's
down.
It's all dirty nickels from the game corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like this theory.
I do like this theory. I don't think he's like the good guy. I think he has nobler intentions that maybe we are giving him credit for.
I actually don't want him to be the good guy, so I'm totally okay with that. So, I mean, I like villains because I like villains. They're interesting, and especially in stuff that came out like in the 90s, like the good characters were such goody two shoes and they didn't have like negative points. So the villains were allowed to be more interesting because they could do things that the heroes couldn't do because they had to be perfect. So that's why I always lean towards villains. And I like Giovanni because you can, like, he can basically just be however you want him to be. And it still kind of fits.
Yeah. All right, Josh. You got a theory about a Pokédex, huh?
I do.
I'm stalling so I don't have to go. That's BT dubs. That's what this is.
All right, well, I got this one off of the Pokemon Conspiracy subreddit. It's written by user Dom Riso, I think is how you say that.
Sure.
I expanded on it, fleshed it out a little bit more while I was writing. I wrote a lot, so I'm going to, like, sum it up. So when we start off in Gen 1, Oak introduces the Pokedex as his invention. So these are essentially the first two Pokedexes.
Right.
He gives them the red and blue, tells them to go out and fill them up, and then they do. However, as the years go by and the pages are filled, new empty Pokedexes are still handed out to new trainers and filled with entries that are similar to those recorded by Red and Blue for, like, those Pokemon. Just kind of bear with me a little bit here.
Right.
So what's the point of handing out an empty field guide to new trainers if you already have the information and have filled it?
That's a great question.
So the theory is that originally the Pokedex was invented by Oak as his son, not his son. As his grandson and his grandson's best friend, quote, heavy air quotes, because like...
Only friend.
You know,
only
the
person who lives in town.
Frenemy.
Are about to go out on their journey. The Pokedexes are actually tracking devices, originally developed by Oak to keep tabs on where they are and what kind of creatures they've encountered.
Well, that's just entered in a creepy town.
It's just like...
They're 10-year-olds, Alan. If your 10-year-old grandson was going out on an adventure on his own, you wouldn't want to know where he is?
I would lowjack the hell out of that kid.
I am not a big fan...
You don't have cell phones yet.
Well, I am not a big fan of tracking as a concept. I just think it's creepy and odd. But go ahead.
He's able to use the information sent to him from the Pokedex to send his lab aides out to make sure they're okay, check up on them, see the kind of Pokemon that they've encountered, and reward them for filling up their Pokedexes. As the Pokedex became more popular among professors and parents, because it's a tracking device, it's been continually worked on and upgraded, allowing not only to check information on captured Pokemon, but to compare notes and findings with other trainers, which explains why the entries are so consistent throughout each generation. As well as you can simulate battles and trade with trainers if the player search system is a function of the Pokedex itself, which I came up with as I was writing this.
Okay.
But if it's given to trainers at the beginning of their journey, why not hand out Pokedexes that are already filled with information? Why keep them empty? The answer is to inspire the new trainer to travel across the land, searching far and wide. Nudge.
I see what you did there.
In this world, a Pokemon adventure is a rite of passage, a transition from childhood to adulthood, and this can be particularly seen in Black and White when Shiren and Bianca discover who they are and what they want to be throughout their journey. As Pokemon are gathered, the Pokedex fills up and keeps a record of their journey for them. It's not so much about collecting accurate scientific data about each creature as it is about recording your own adventure to reflect and share and compare with other trainers in the future. And it's also for kind of for the professors to just track not data on the monsters, because like they've kind of got that by now, but to just get trainer data and see how like trainers go out into the world when they go on these journeys.
I like that.
I can dig
that. That's the theory I found on the Pokedex.
Okay. I like that it's not sinister in nature. That's a fun thing for a theory about a kid's game, is that there's nothing creepy going on. Yeah, they're tracking them. But, like, again, in a Pokemon world, I'm fine with it. This is a real world. We don't let 10-year-olds out into the wild. Yeah. So, also, like, at least in the later games, your map is on your Pokedex.
That is true. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, where am I? I'm here. And that also pings back to the professor, be like, they're here right now. So, like, let's just say your Pokemon fail and you're mauled, you're a swarm of Beedrill kill you. They're like, well, we found his body, at least. It's a swollen, lumpy mess, but we found him.
And it just took a hard curve into the dark. Good job.
Now it's sinister.
You're welcome, Internet. All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Seems that way.
I feel like I should have written something down, but I didn't. So here, we go. So my theory is that Red's dead. It's a sinister one. In Gold and Silver and Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you play Gold, or I guess Crystal? Is that the girl's name?
Chris.
I don't like Lyra. Is that the other name
that
they give her?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Either way, you play one of them. You go out into the world. You do your thing. You take out 8 gym leaders, you get 8 badges, and then you beat the Elite Four, and then you go, hey, guess what? I'm not satisfied. I want to be the very best. Like, no one ever was.
So when I quote the theme song...
Well, I quoted the best line in, like, basically written history, so...
Girls, you're both pretty.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. So you hop across the pond. It's not a pond. There's like a
path. Cave.
It's a cave. You hop across the cave. You go to the next door neighbor country, and you beat all of their people too. And then when you their people being their gym leaders, you beat all them too. And when you do that, you get like special written permission, I guess, to go up to the most dangerous place, which is Mount Silver. So you go to the top of Mount Silver, and you get there. And who's up there? The former Pokemon League champion, and he doesn't say anything. You fight him and you beat him, and he disappears forever, and you never see him again until Black 2, I think.
White 2 or Black 2. I played
Either
White
way.
2, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
Black or White 2. So my theory...
However, if we can expand upon that a little bit, when he shows up in the Pokemon World Tournament, he still doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything. He just walks in,
he walks
gets
in,
the job done, and leaves.
Battles and leaves.
Yeah. So the theory is that he died up there because he was like, I'm the champion. Okay, there's a lot of versions of this where he went up there to kill himself, which is stupid. That's just very dumb. because he's like 10 and the best Pokemon trainer in the world. Like, he's doing all right. So he goes up there, and Mount Silver's like snowy. He's in a t-shirt and shorts. He's not ready for this weather. He caught the legendary bird, so he can't even have, like, Moltres or Articuno help him out and get him down the mountain like they do. So He
could have if he brought him with him, but he did not.
But he did not. He only has the 6 Pokemon on him, and they're like his best buddies, but none of them specifically say, I get people down from mountains, like Moltres does. So I think he went up there, and he got hypothermia, and he died. And then you fight his ghost, and that allows him to move on, to pass on to the next life. And his Pokemon are in Pokeballs, so I don't think they died, but I think they would still be loyal to his ghost if your ghost is just chilling around. Because this is a world that has a really weirdly tenuous relationship with ghosts and psychics.
The supernatural is very prevalent and odd in the Pokemon universe.
Yeah, it's like there, and it's obvious, and not talked about how weird it is.
It is kind of bizarre.
Because it's just always been there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like if this little ghost boy was like, I'm still your trainer, and his Pokemon were like, yeah, you're a very powerful trainer, we love you, so yeah, like we'll still listen to you.
So then you beat him and just leave his Pokeballs up there?
Maybe he turns into a Phantom. Because those are the ghosts of lost children.
Well, now I'm going to catch a Phantom and name it Red.
Nice.
That is the life you now lead.
Maybe when you beat him, Pokemon magic happens.
They go back to the PC box.
Yeah. Something like that. So, okay, so hit me. What are our thoughts about this? There's a lot more to it, but I didn't read anything extensive.
The only thing I've got is reality-based, but reality is no defense for fiction, so it doesn't really track. But what I'll say is that in the 90s, the silent protagonist was extremely popular in RPGs, as it would allow the player to project themselves onto the protagonist. By not having the protagonist have a voice, then the player could assume that role more. So that's why you have Silent Zelda. That's, well, that and, you know, limitations of the console.
His name is Link Allen.
True. I feel like a bad nerd.
We're gonna nope prize this one. In the original Legend of Zelda, let me push my glasses up. In the original Legend of Zelda, if you put your name as Zelda, you got to play a harder quest, proving that you were better at the game, and that's what you were talking about.
Yes, sure. Let's go with that. but, you know, that's aside from also limitations of the games, it was very difficult to put in voice acting. That's why you really didn't see it in Final Fantasy until
10.
10 was the first one that had voice acting, which is kind of odd to think about. But, you know, again, reality is no defense for fiction, but yeah.
Yeah, I would say to that, it's kind of weird to me, though, that, like, you're the new silent protagonist, and still a silent protagonist.
They want you to think you're both, I think.
Except that in Red and Blue, what you talk to Copycat.
You do. Like, you actually have dialogue with Copycat.
Yeah. So he can talk, it's just that you're the person playing him, so they don't want to put words in your mouth. So I feel like when you are not him anymore, that he could talk,
right?
But
he doesn't.
And he's the only player character that shows up in the world tournament because he's a ghost and therefore exempt from the rules of being a player character.
Well, also, he has an NPC version of himself. He's the only player character that has a trainer you can battle that's not you.
But they made it for that game. They could have made a gold for that game and a
ruby. They just took his Pokemon from Gold and Silver.
Yeah, but like
it's that version of Red that you fight in the world tournament.
Yeah, exactly. But like they could have just made a gold. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I've come up like with so limited, many different teams they could have used for gold, you guys. And they left the Elite Four out of it. They just need to do a good version of the world tournament.
It's okay. Once we get Pokemon, please and thank you, maybe that'll be the thing we're going to do.
I was about to say, maybe you can hold on the hope for Moon and Sun that they'll announce something.
That's all I want. It's my favorite feature.
Josh is obsessed with tournaments. I don't know if you guys know this.
I do really like me some tournaments.
He's very into a good tournament. He's been talking about this since Black 2 and White 2 came out.
That is accurate.
So that's round one of our theories.
It is.
Now, do we want to do round two, or do we want to, all four of us, and I don't think we told you guys this, we've decided we're going to do this, do we want to just jump right into all four of us fleshing out the greatest theory, the Great War was against Mewtwo, the actual best theory that there's ever been in Pokemon?
I'm fine with that too, yeah.
I'd be okay with that, mostly because my second theory has two sentences written about it.
Okay, the Great War is my second theory, so...
Yeah, we were prepared for both contingencies. My second theory is that the Yo Champ in the Making guy is your dad, but that's, like, stupid fan fiction.
Oh, I read that one, too. I was like, this is dumb, and closed it.
Yeah.
My second theory was that the Elite Four has been evil the whole time, and it's kind of cool. And I also just really want to talk about the manga sometime.
The manga's got some good ideas.
We should do a manga episode. Sorry, I say manga like a slack-jawed yokel. My bad, guys. I also call it an Earl, so, like, whatevs. but I need to read more of it, and we should definitely do an episode on that in the future.
My second theory was anime related, so
just out of curiosity, would it,
yeah, hit, us with, would hit you, us with the brief summary.
What would be the title
okay,
of this
so
theory?
The brief summary is, why does Ash suck, kind of explain. So essentially the theory is, at the end of the first anime episode, Ash sees Oho, and in Oho's Pokedex entry it says that it grants wishes to people who see it. At the time, Ash is a 10-year-old, and his wish was to go on his Pokemon journey forever. That's why he doesn't age. That's why he doesn't win battles, is because he just keeps going. If he loses, right, he never stops. Or if he loses, he would stop. So he, or if he wins, he would stop. So he never wins, he always right, loses, and he keeps going.
So forever. He loses, and when he does, he packs his bags and moves away
exactly,
to the next game.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be horrible.
It's horrible.
Also, I feel like that's a pretty good theory. I feel like if I was that Ash, because I watched the first couple episodes when we were doing the anime episodes, I feel like he would wish to be the very best, and not wish to, like...
It's right there in the theme
yeah,
song.
He's also really dumb.
I was so about to say, it's in the theme song, but he never really says it.
He doesn't.
Doesn't he? No, I guess
I mean,
you're
I'm sure
right.
He does tell Misty, like, I'm going to be the best Pokemon trainer. And then Misty's like, no, you suck at this.
But that's after he's already wished upon a Ho-Oh.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So, Great War?
Great War.
Sure.
Okay, before we start, before we drop these bombs on people.
I credited this one to us.
Yeah. Okay, there's been a million Great War theories floating around there. From it was against Johto to it was like a civil war.
There is a war that happened in Kalos that they talk about in X and Y from like 3,000 years ago.
Right.
With the king who was AZ. Spoilers.
Oh, Arizona?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, when did names get stupid in Pokemon?
Well, your main character's name is Red.
Yeah, so right away.
Yeah, so
when did they give up and they were like, what if everyone's name is letters? Just a letter.
A to Z, he's like the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega.
He's very tall, too.
Also, they kind of blew he's very tall. They kind of blew their load on Alpha Ruby and Omega Sapphire, because Pokemon Alpha and Pokemon Omega could have been a good set of titles.
Yeah.
Oops, I'll buried that one. Okay, so what are you... Okay, Shannon Allen, obviously don't talk at once because that would be horrible audio, but what are some great war theories that you guys have heard, like kind of summed up? Alan, go first.
Okay. So the main ones that I've heard have always circulated around the reason why there's no men. When you see a grown man...
Oh, I can
man,
debunk that one. I have a list.
I was about to say, but here's the thing. There, you see the hikers, you see the black belts, you see all of these old men. So that doesn't really work.
I made a whole list of the trainer classes that could be considered adult to middle-aged men. Here, ready?
yes. I don't think it's necessary because we agree with you, but go ahead.
But I want it, but I want this for everybody else. There's Bruno of the Elite Four. There's bikers, black belts, burglars, cue balls, engineers, fishermen, hikers, rockers, scientists, and tamers that all could be between 25 and 40. Well, so the no middle-aged men, everyone's a kid or a woman or an old man, is false.
Well, I think that, okay, let me try to help that one out a little bit, is that those people are all trainer. Bruno could have just won. Like, he could have not died in the war. Like, that's fine. Like,
right.
Lieutenant Surge didn't. I feel like Giovanni probably fought in the war and came back and was like, hey, you know what's here? Opportunity for crime, because everyone died in the war. but, like... Most of the people that you talk to that aren't trainers are old men or women.
Right.
So, like, I feel like that's more of what they're trying to lean on. But then over time, the internet
just
turns
as you,
it into.
Yeah, but as you look at the world as a whole, it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't track.
Well, I said that to kind of say that it doesn't really track. But the thing that I find interesting about it is that when you do talk to some of those men, specifically Lieutenant Surge, and you start getting into that gray area, it becomes interesting to think about. I've always thought that the idea that Pokemon is the weird post-apocalyptic version of Earth, you know, because it has South America, because each region is based loosely on a continent and or country, you know, that it's a different version of what we already know, and that a lot of Pokemon are just kind of irradiated, mutated versions of what we already have.
Which is why your categories can be like the most Pokemon. Right. Even right, there's yeah. No mice.
And I definitely agree with this was supposed to be on Earth, at least in Gen 1.
Yeah.
Like, this was definitely an Earth-based world.
But then after that, they just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah, they started making it its own thing.
Well, they talk about the Challenger in the original Red and Blue.
They talk about the Challenger,
the moon landing.
They specifically cite South America as the home of Mew.
South America. Guana, South America is where they discovered Mew.
Yeah.
And there's a theory now that that actually is just Faraway Island, where you find him in Gen 3 with, like, a special ticket.
Yeah.
So they, like, there's a theory that retcons it, but it's nothing official.
Right. Shannon, you got any Great War theories or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
I like seeing what people say about it. I just, like, I don't know. I spend a lot of my Pokemon time just being really into Team Rocket, so then every once in a while I'm like, oh yeah, there's other characters that exist. So it's either the Rockets or the Professors for me. So I like, the only gym leader I really got into was Sabrina, because when I was a kid I loved psychic types and they're still my favorite. So I was like, you're really cool. So is Giovanni. And I guess everyone else is also here.
Well, this wouldn't even be a theory if Lieutenant Surge didn't.
Yeah, there's one
if he
line.
Didn't exist or say that line. If he still existed but didn't say, I was in a war.
Legend type Pokemon saved me in a war.
I kept coming
what
across.
War, what?
I was researching this to see if anyone else came up with our theory about Mewtwo. And the only imagery I kept coming across was Pidgeots dropping electrodes as bombs. Like, everybody keeps saying that that is what happened in the war. It's so weird.
That's really weird. I feel like what happened is there was one Great War theory. It was like, oh, from what I hear, a lot of it is like we fought Johto, like Kanto fought Johto. I say we like I'm from Kanto. I'm not.
Right.
I'm from New Hampshire. So it's like Kanto fought Johto in this, quote, Great War. There's also a theory that like they fought like Unova, and that Unova just like ate their lunch, which is why Unova is like this technological paradise that has literally one garden and that's it. They just
Kanto is like 40 years in the past.
Yeah. But I like the idea that the war was against Mewtwo because no one's mad about the war.
Yeah.
Like, no one's like, oh, those Johtos!
Yeah.
Joshins? Whatever they're called. I don't know.
Johtoit?
I feel like I might have actually said a racial slur against Johto.
Johtoans. That's not it.
No, probably not. So, Josh, what's our theory?
Our theory is that the Great War was against Mewtwo and was actually the event that trapped him in the Cerulean Cave.
Yeah. Briefly outlined, discovered and briefly outlined in our last proper
flesh
episode.
It out a little bit. I want to start by talking about the journal entries in the Cinnabar Mansion.
Okay.
There's only four. I thought there were more, but there's only four of them. And they're oddly spread out. We don't get years, but we do get dates. So the first one is July 5th. It's in Guana, South America. It's the only one given a location. And it's just that a new Pokemon was discovered deep in the jungle. And the next one is July 10th. It's just that they named it Mew. And then the next one is February 6th. So the journals take place at least over 2 years. And this next one is that Mew gave birth. We named the newborn Mewtwo, and then the next one is September 1st, I'm assuming of that same year, which is Mewtwo is far too powerful. We have failed to curb its vicious tendencies. And that's the last journal entry.
Okay. So let's talk about Mew giving birth for a second.
I was about to say,
where do we all land on that?
It's a reference to the way real world cloning works, I think.
Okay, hold on.
Because we lose a lot of journal entries between July 10th and then February 6th.
Right.
And they were just lost in the fire or whatever,
sure.
Right? So I think there's a lot of entries about the cloning process that we just don't get.
So what you're saying is that basically they took Mew's DNA, changed it, reinserted it back into Mew to get Mew pregnant with this thing.
As a surrogate to grow and develop the fetus that would become Mewtwo.
A double Mew. It's got a Mew mom and a Mew dad.
But the problem with that becomes, we know how Pokemon breed. So unless Mew is an oddity, which, to be fair, it could very well easily be an oddity.
We know how Pokemon breed. We do not know how Mew breeds. It's in the undiscovered egg group.
So maybe those ones just need to bone down and give birth regular stuff. That's how legendaries make more legendaries.
Oh, God.
Mew giving birth is weird, but I think it's just a reference to the cloning process.
I like the idea that it is like, they're like, hey, Mew, we got your DNA, and we're inseminating you with you. So this Mew that you're giving birth to is not a Mew anymore. It's two Mews. It's a Mew too.
Well, they also did modify the DNA that they sampled. Right. So
probably with Deoxys blood or some bull honky like that.
Oh, probably.
Now that's what they would do.
So the theory from there, unless you guys had more to say about the journal entries.
The other thing that I think is interesting about that is the theory that Ditto is a failed attempt at cloning Mew. So that Mewtwo was not the first clone. That they tried and failed Ditto.
They must have failed so many times because Ditto can't breed by itself. Like, you can't breed a Ditto and a Ditto.
It can't breed to make more Ditto.
So, like, they must have been like, oh, well, that was attempt 500 and we still got these little goopy boys. I'm just gonna let them go, whatever.
But you can still find them in the wild.
He could just, like, break apart.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, he might just, through,
Fission.
What is it? Like cellular division. There's like a name for that.
I was going to call it mitosis, but that's literally the opposite,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, some kind of osis.
Osmosis Jones. He osmosis Joneses and becomes two
Osmosis
Dittos.
Joses.
I like to think that he reproduces by budding. So just like a little Ditto appears and just falls off.
Oh, he just sweats Dittos.
little tiny Dittos, and they slowly get bigger. But
just
they,
like weird
little
faces
ones.
Keep falling off of Ditto.
That's really upsetting.
All right, moving on.
Hold on, before we move on.
Never mind. There was a lot of dead space. I thought we could go.
I was recalculating my route, I guess. So Shannon, your favorite Pokemon is Mew.
Yeah.
How you feel about Mewtwo?
I like Mewtwo. Yeah, he's one of my favorite psychics as well.
Okay. Because you don't talk about him nearly as much as you talk about
Mew. Well, yeah, because he's not a tiny, perfect baby. He's a big, angry baby.
That is true.
He's the angsty teenage version of Mew.
Yeah, he's just like, if Vegeta was a Pokemon, that's what Mewtwo is.
Oh, my God.
Do you appreciate that about him?
Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
Now we can move on.
My brain has exploded.
Now that Alan's got to reboot himself. Because of Vegeta's.
Vegeta.
Yeah, whatever, no matter what Mewtwo's voice is, I always replace it with Vegeta's voice in my head, and it makes Mewtwo so much better.
Oh, boy. Dragon Ball Z is just so weird. It's just so weird.
Someone should explain to me that anime.
That is very weird.
Let's go back to talking about pregnant Mew.
Yeah.
Well, Mew's not pregnant anymore.
Nope. It had its baby.
It had a baby. It's a Mewtwo. I like to imagine Mewtwo started out like as a baby and then
grew.
Because
it was born.
Yeah, I'd be really scared if it was the same size difference.
Just popped out, was like, hello, I'm going to murder everybody.
I'm almost 7 feet tall. Everyone cool? I'm 1 inch shy of an Allen. Everyone cool here? I'm a baby.
I'm 100% a baby. Life choices and very wise things. Bye.
So Mewtwo is a baby. It's ruthless still as a baby. It's just like attacking people, ruining things, just like it's angry all the time, just wants to fight. So on September 1st, the date of the last entry, is when Blaine and Fuji finally lost the ability to contain and control Mewtwo.
However that was.
Right, so he attacks and escapes from the lab or the mansion. Despite their best efforts to stop him, which is what causes the fire that burns the mansion down. From there, the gym leaders and other notable strong trainers from the region are called into action to protect Kanto. After a grueling battle all over the region, because he's like flying everywhere,
I assume this would spiral out of control, and eventually it would just be like, everyone who's got Pokemon who can fight, please help.
Yeah, that's why you got to get like all the gym leaders, because they spread over the whole map.
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, push him north.
I'm
just like, we got to funnel him in.
I'm kind of curious, because if you look at all of the towns and everything, Pallet Town is exceptional in that it's so small, it's so secluded. What if when Mewtwo was like, there was a lot of devastation? I think you could see that in Pallet Town. I think you can see that there's a lot of places where there should be buildings, but there aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like rebuilding in Vermilion. Mm-hmm. There's the construction site, which could easily be just read as rebuilding a building that was taken down.
There are places that are obviously building shaped, but there's nothing there.
Yeah, or like all the buildings with no doors could just be abandoned.
Yeah. Mewtwo, man, he wrecked that place, huh?
He did.
He messed Kanto up.
So they finally manage to push him back into a cave just outside of Cerulean City. They push it in as far as they can get it and then trap it with a series of explosions and cave-ins, which makes the structure of the cave very unstable, which explains why the layout keeps changing. I did that for me. I wrote that in there for me.
I also like the idea, because like in Mewtwo's Pokedex entries, it says that number one, he is like Finley. He loves to fight.
Or Russell Crowe.
Fighting around the world.
I'm going to go with Finley, even though
Finley's also a good one.
That's a much narrower reference that I feel like less people will get. Professional wrestler, Fit Finley. He loves to fight. He's Irish and he loves to fight. But Mewtwo, it says like straight up, like Mewtwo, if you're looking at Mewtwo, he's going to try to punch you in the face. Like he hates
you.
Yeah,
he just wants to fight everybody.
Yeah. So, but it also says that he spends his not fighting time doing nothing, like just literally waiting to fight again. Yeah.
Well, to me, that kind of makes sense because Mewtwo is such a powerful creature. That would take a lot of energy to be as powerful as it is. So I think that's kind of the best thing that you've got going for this theory is that the reason why it's in Cerulean Cave and hasn't moved is it's rebooting. They shoved it into Cerulean Cave. They were like, no one go near it. No one look at it. No one think about it. Because if you do, you're going to feed it. And it
that's
dormant.
Why they post the guard at the door.
Exactly.
The Afro guard. Yeah, there's the Afro guard who's like, you can't come in here. Me and my big hair don't think you're strong enough. There's something in here that will murder you. Yeah. And he might also just be there to be, if he sees Mewtwo on his way out, like, oh, guys.
To text somebody who can help.
Oops.
And I just see, like, Red walking out of the cave, just like, tossing a Master Ball up and down. What you got in there?
Well, that's the thing. The Master Ball is, I think it just is out of the prototype stage at the time where you get to Silph-Co and fight Giovanni for
There's no more at that point.
So there's only the one, like they've only produced one, and this is like the only one that works. And you get, and the Saffron president gives it to you.
Or you could be an idiot like me and not use your Master Ball.
Oh, I always use my Master Ball.
I totally caught it with an Ultra Ball.
Nowadays, I save it because I'm just worried that, like, a shiny's going to pop up that can whirlwind me away or something.
Oh, I know that I'm never going to see a shiny in my natural life, so I don't even worry about that
I've
kind of
stuff. I've seen enough that I'm worried about it.
I got a shiny Swoobat.
I've literally never seen a shiny.
I got a shiny Klink and a shiny Abra in Gen 5 and 6, respectively.
I think I have a shiny Spritzy.
Alan broke when I said Abra.
I want the shiny Abra!
I think I got a shiny, what's the little guy that has the Pokeball in his head? The little mushroom guy?
Fungus?
Fungus.
Yeah,
Fungus
and Moongus. I have a shiny Fungus, which instead of a Pokeball, he's just a Master Ball. And then I have a shiny, Spritzy that I evolved in Aromatisse, and it just, like, inverts the colors. And then I have a shiny Hoopa, who is just all gold.
How did you get shiny Hoopa?
My buddy, actually, Goni Montez, the cover artist for Power Rangers, gave it to me.
Those covers are baller.
Yeah.
His covers are amazing. Shout outs if you listen. Your work is excellent.
Yeah.
Goni's an unstoppable monster, and I say it to his face all the time. So if he listens, I'm going to say it to his face again. You're an unstoppable monster.
I've gotten two in Gen 6, actually, because I also got a shiny Plusle in a Horde encounter.
I've never gotten a single. I've never
in
even
Alpha
seen
Sapphire.
A shiny Pokemon. I hope you all are proud of yourselves. Must be real cool to be in this cool special club with special Pokemon.
Now I've completed my Pokedex, so I got the shiny charm, which halves the chance. So maybe while I'm breeding stuff, I'll get another one.
That's how I got my Spritzy.
Wah.
So that's the theory on the war. I do have a little bit written down about what might have happened afterwards.
Okay, before we move into that, I just got one last thing about Mewtwo. Okay, if we look at the Pokemon Tower, there's a lot of dead Pokemon in there.
Those
are from Mewtwo.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure. And then if you look at the map, like, Cerulean is, like, the farthest away. Like,
it's the northmost city.
Yeah, it's the farthest away they could push him. So if he already ran through everywhere else, just wrecking everything, you know, what's the opposite of decimation? Because when you decimate something, you only take away 10%. What's what happens when you take away 90? What's that called? Annihilation?
Nonimation.
It's Nuevimation.
Well, he's really only got two modes where he's mad and fighting, and then he's mad that he's not fighting, so I wouldn't be shocked if he just murdered a bunch of everything.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel like he probably just wrecked everything, and by the time he was finally in Cerulean, because Cerulean is, like, kind of nice still, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's not, like, huge by any stretch. It still felt the war, but they got him down to the farthest point of that cave, and then they literally all just retreated. And then he was like, oh, no one's here to fight.
Yeah, they just pushed him as far in as they could and hightailed it out of there, like caving in the path
certain
behind
sections,
them.
And then just left him there. And he was like, well, all right.
My pet theory on this theory is that people don't think about it anymore. Because if you notice, no one talks about Mewtwo at all. Most of what you read it. No one really speaks.
Yeah, the post-war stuff puts the war at least 10 years ago.
I feel like it has to be within enough time that you could have been born. Because I feel like your parents and Blue's parents were definitely in the war.
Let me read the rest.
Hit us with that sweet, sweet rest of the theory.
So after the war, Dr. Fuji retires from science to
Fuji?
Become... I said Fuji, didn't
you? You said Fuji.
I read it as Fuji. Well, it's going out that way. He retires from science to become Mr. Fuji and goes on to care for Pokemon that were orphaned or left without a trainer as a result of the war that he feels responsible for. Blaine goes back to his gym and tries to continue life as usual. Lieutenant Surge is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of being on the front lines of the war and locks himself behind two solid bomb doors at his gym.
Yeah, he doesn't want to deal with that ever again.
A young girl named Daisy and her baby brother are adopted by their grandfather, Professor Oak, and a newly widowed pregnant mother from Pallet Town gives birth.
I have one last person of interest that I think is involved with this. Two last. Okay. Giovanni somehow.
Okay.
Okay. Because because
post-war would be like a real good time to start a criminal organization.
Real good time to sweep up. But also, if you go with the theory that Annan? That's like Shannon's name.
Shannon's part of it.
I got most of it. Point to A for effort.
Yeah, I'll love it.
The theory that you said where, like, he's trying to get stuff together so that, like, if Mewtwo gets out, he can stop it. So, like, I feel like he was probably in the war.
Right.
And was like, oh, that's a bad dude. And everyone just was like, hey, what if we don't think about him because he's psychic, hopefully we don't activate his anger so no one think about him ever again. And Giovanni's like, yeah, no one else do that. I'm going to do that. but then also, I feel like whoever made the Sylph, like the president of Sylph Co., Mr. Sylph, Jeremy P. Yes. Sylph, is also like, I want to be ready for next time. I want to be able to take him down quickly and effectively without losing another 90% of our population, which is down to 30 people at most in any given place.
Yep.
So that's a theory.
That's the theory.
I like
fleshed out, written down.
Alan, how do you feel? How do you feel about this theory?
I like it. My favorite part is, you know, because he is such a psychic force that thinking about it, I'm always a sucker in fiction for if you think about the thing, you call its attention to you.
Yeah.
You know, in the Wheel of Time, if you say the Dark One's name, he will, like, it comes to you. All
oh, Voldemort?
Of that fun stuff.
Voldemort's in the Wheel of Time?
No, that would be Shaitan.
Oh, Alan, you said his name.
Yeah.
Alan, what are you doing?
Got the Dark One's own luck. It's okay.
Now our podcast is cursed.
And now
we
all my Wheel of Time people,
you're
all
right.
My Wheel of Time people, hit me up.
We're very far apart, so if it comes for Alan, we'll still be okay.
We'll know.
Oh, man, I'm right next door.
You're only 5 hours away.
There's a comic book about, like, if Superman went evil, but I forget what it's called. It was Boom Steve.
Injustice?
Irredeemable.
Irredeemable, yeah.
No, where... Injustice is a pile of garbage.
it's bad.
Yeah.
Irredeemable is really good, though. But
Irredeemable
yeah,
is awesome.
There's a scene where, like, you meet his parents, and they talk with chalkboards around their neck because they're so afraid to talk because he'll come find them because yeah, he's that powerful. And they, like, breathe too loud, and he shows up.
Yeah, the premise is, like, oh, Superman can hear you talking shit about him 24/7, like, and he just gets sick of it.
Yeah, and I think, like, one of the parents just does, like, a, and then, like, the next panel is just him through the wall standing there. So I imagine yeah, that would be, like, what Mewtwo's like. Someone just, yeah, like, says Mewtwo, T-O-O, and he just shows up. They're like, no, I meant also.
Yeah, the word two just doesn't exist. They all have to say as well
as
now.
As well.
Yeah.
This is Pokemon one, number 100 and as well.
One, one and one, three.
You say two yeah, and he just like creaks over the door and sticks his head in.
Yeah, it's one, also three, four, five, six.
but yeah, back to Alan, what you were saying, like the, you know, thinking about it, especially because it's a psychic type. It's the most powerful psychic type.
Yeah.
So like thinking about it is like, is like tempting him to come mess your life up.
Yep.
I just like that he's an angry baby that wants to fight everything. And if someone says his name too loud, he's just gonna fight you.
He's like, "What's up? What's up?"
Yeah, like what Shannon said on Twitter when we first talked about this on our episode, whatever episode that was.
It was the last regular.
She was
episode,
just like, "I love that my baby needs a whole war to put him in time out."
Basically,
pretty
yes,
much. I also like to think, and this is just like, this is like if I was writing this story, like that Ash's dad, sorry, not Ash, I don't care about that kid. Red's dad is the one that like pulled the final electrode trigger that,
right,
that
yeah,
like got the cave in, but like he didn't leave that cave, but he nope, saved everybody.
And Blue and Daisy lost their parents.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Because they like never talk, like they're never even talked about.
No. Can't mention the war, except for Lieutenant Surge, who's hiding in a bunker.
Yeah.
You think he's just stop being a gym leader and just go, like, hide somewhere and just not talk to anyone?
I don't know, man. It's weird. Post-war.
All right, Al, what were you saying before everybody jumped on you?
I was just saying that I like the idea that Lieutenant Surge is also crazy. That, you know, the war kind of drove him nuts. So at this point, he doesn't care if he thinks about Mewtwo or if he thinks about the war, because he... he's already lost everything. Mewtwo can't yeah, take anything more from him.
Yeah. He was definitely, because electric type saved his life somehow. I don't know what that means, but like they got him out of the war, and maybe he's got like survivor's guilt too. Like,
yeah.
For being like, oh, well I made it out, but like no one else really did. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause heavy, he probably went in with like a team.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, he's a big buff dude.
And now all the junior trainers in his gym just keep moving the switches around the trash cans. So-
and that one gym led to the eternity of looking for things in trash cans.
And again,
every generation, I check all the trash cans.
Like a jerk, here comes Red stomping in, pushing the buttons, yelling at this stressed out war vet.
Beating his
forcing him into a fight. What a jerk.
All right, and I think that's going to do it. I think that's going to be the episode. I feel good about that. I feel good that we made the best theory that there is.
It's basically canon.
Might as well be. Hey, Alan, let's talk PWTU for a second. Where does this theory fit
you
in?
You don't want me to answer that question.
Okay, cool. Cool. So anyway, thank you guys for coming on, for helping us celebrate this 1 year anniversary episode.
No problem.
No problem. I had fun.
Good. I'm glad. I did yell at you a lot in the beginning, Alan.
That's okay. It wasn't my theory.
I'm sorry we attacked the theory you brought.
Well, no, it wasn't my theory, so I don't feel bad about it because it was. It just is interesting to me to look at different perspectives. Yeah, you can trash it. It's fine.
We also, like, you were going to do a great war theory, and then we stumbled upon to this one, and we're like, well, you can do one, but it's wrong now. Sorry. Here's some places you can find us on the internet, at PWT Podcast, or you can email us at PWTPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to go to, we got our first four-star review. And on the one hand, it kind of stung. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, no, now we're a real podcast.
It's also a good review.
It's still a good review. So, but
I haven't read it, but like 4 stars is a good rating.
So if you want to give us a rating review, it helps out a ton. We'd really appreciate it. If you're hearing this and the Pokemon World Tour United feed is up. By the way, the episodes will still go into this feed. Like, don't worry about that. You don't have to go subscribe to that separately. It's just if you only like that, now they're there. So I don't. You wouldn't be listening to this if you only like those. But I will mention it in the next episode that goes up. But please, 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 if you can, toss out a rating, interview, and subscribe. I don't know if subscriptions help out at all. I have no idea how that arcane magic works. But like, I really want a lot of people to see this. I want this to get bumped up them charts real good. So please, 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 for me, for us, for your friends.
I was wondering if you're going to do that a second time.
The answer is always yes. And finally, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. If you kick in a couple bucks, you get some cool stuff in return. And we really appreciate it. It helps us out a ton. And that's all I'm really going to say about that. We got 3 more bonus episodes before we go to the Sevii Islands. Is that what they're called?
I thought we were doing 2 months.
Yeah, 4.
3 more of this one.
3 more of one, and then we got the World Tour United episode.
Yeah. Yep, so 3 more bonus episodes. Some gym guys.
We're going to make a couple gyms? couple Jameses?
Oh, boy.
That was unnecessary.
It was. And then we also have another episode. Oh, the Pokemon starter. If you haven't ranked the starters and sent them, please do that.
Yeah.
So we can get the definitive list.
I think everyone here has.
Yeah.
If you send a second list, I'm not screening them, and I have them all saved on my phone, but not necessarily know where they're from. So I'm just going to count it again.
So send in 40 of the same one, game the system.
If they're the same, then I'll know.
We'll know. Don't try to trick us, guys. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with probably a Let's Make a Gym episode.
Sure.
But until then, smell you later.